So the scripture reading today is from John. It's chapter 3. I'm going to start on verse 14 and read through 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen and their deeds have been done good in God. So at the beginning of this, he's talking about the serpent. So he's relating back to when Moses is in the desert and he has the staff that he lifts up. Part of it's he uses it to strike the rock for water. He uses it when they're in battle to show that God is with them. And so I'm kind of going to skip a little part before I start back. And so like everything that we do, sometimes we get carried away with that. And so one of the things that happens, because I've told you guys I'm reading about prophets, one of the things that happens is that Ezekiel becomes the king of Judah, and he sort of is trying to get the country back on track. But because of this scripture talking about the staff and the snake of Moses, the people of Israel have turned this staff and the snake of Moses into an idol. And they're worshiping it instead of God, where they've got totally confused. And so one of the things that starts out as a good thing for Moses ends up people following it incorrectly. And so Ezekiel has to have all those destroyed later on. And so what this really represents is sort of two lifting ups of Jesus. The first one will be when he's lifted to the cross. The second one is when he's lifted up into heaven at his ascension. And so often we read things and then we get confused about what they really mean. And so if we're going to believe in Jesus, and you either, I think it's like the birth, you either believe or you don't believe. I don't know that you can always convince people, but if you believe, then you have to believe that God is Jesus declared him to be. Now there's an article in the paper today about God being a white, older guy with a beard. And I don't know about you guys, but I never really think about what God looks like. The only two gods I think of when I think of God like that is Morgan Freeman in the movie he played God. And I could not remember the name, I couldn't find it on the internet today, but in an older movie, George Burns played God. I don't know if you guys remember that. And so I don't really picture either one of them though as God. I picture them as Morgan Freeman and George Burns. And so I don't think it's important that we have a picture of God. It's important that we feel what God does in the world, that we know that he's around us and with us. And so God loves us and he will forgive us, and he does forgive us because we're probably going to do stuff that's wrong. So before I get to the Jewish point of view, so last night we had a birthday party and we combined Ronan, who turned 2, except I told him he turned 52, and he said, yes, Papaw, I did. So he's a little confused about his age, but he turned 2, and I'm, again, can't tell you how old Raquel is, but let's just say it's a bigger number than that. And so she asked me what my scripture was this morning that I was going to talk about. So I told her what it was, and she said, well, it's easy to understand how God loves us. And I said, so what is that for you? And she said, and Sophia's sitting there right by her, and she had been a little mischievous. I know it's hard to believe that a 3-year-old would misbehave at a birthday party at like 8 o'clock at night after a lot of cake and other stuff. And she said, no matter how bad Sophia is, not the Sophia up there, this is my Sophia, no matter how bad Sophia is, I still love her. And she said, that is the way I picture God loving all of us. And I thought, I'm going to use that tomorrow. I mean, I didn't tell her that. I'll call her and tell her later. We talked about her today. But I thought, that is a really good definition. And so this morning I turned on my phone, and there's a text from Jeremy. And there was one of the kids in youth group had an issue last night. And so even though Raquel's definition is, you know, it's how I love Sophia, we know that not all the time parents love their children the way they should. But God loves us that way that Raquel described about Sophia. And so if you've had a bad experience on a regular basis or sometimes with a parent or a loved one, that isn't representative of what how the way God loves us. I would say that what Raquel described was a better way. And the most important thing is that when we do something wrong, and Sophia did, got in that category several times last night, Raquel still forgives her and loves her, and God does the same thing for us for all the times we mess up. Now, I put on here from the Jewish point of view, and the Jewish point of view was, if you didn't follow all the laws, then the only way God could kind of let you go by is you had to be punished. And so I think sometimes we don't like to read the Old Testament, because I think we read the Old Testament the same way. That we think, oh, God was mean then. And when things didn't go right, people got punished. And I think what we're, as I study this and have a better understanding, I think that that's really, we're reading the Jewish point of view into that part of scriptures. God loved them. He gave them lots of chances, lots and lots of chances to do the right thing. They just didn't always do it. I don't know that we're any different. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect. Okay? And yet I know when that happens, God still loves me. The same way that Raquel said she always loves Sophia, no matter what Sophia does. And so what we learn then further is the stories that we hear from Jesus are true. That we know God loves all of us all the time, everywhere. No matter what we do, no matter how far we get away, we can always be brought back like the sheep that's lost. I like it when you guys help me out, like with the earring ring that was lost. Who would have ever thought to look for it between two shirts? Because you're going, how could it possibly get there? Or the hearing aids. I was thinking when you were talking about things lost, my wife couldn't find her glasses one day. Do not tell her I told this story, okay? And so I opened the freezer and they're in there, okay? She said later, she goes, well, you know, I was looking for something, I needed my glasses, and I must have set them down after I found it to get it out of the freezer. And so for a long time, because I can be a little ornery, anytime she said, I can't find my glasses, I would say, go check the freezer, because it happened once, right? It could happen again. God searches us out much harder than we search for things we lose. He will search and search and try to get us back. And so we live in this world, and I didn't put this into prayer today because I knew I was going to talk about it, where there's so much violence. And so when the phone went off last night, and I looked at it and it didn't really make any sense to me, based on the news this morning, it was because somebody hurt four people in a family, then hurt another person and took her car and like a six-month-old child at the same time. So how does somebody do all that? How do you hurt that many people in one like 24-hour period, however long that went over? And I think about, they don't have anything in their life. It seems pretty apparent to me that the men that were killed in Muncie a couple weeks ago, that's going to turn out to be all drug related. And people will say, oh, well, it doesn't really hurt when people use drugs because it doesn't affect anybody but them. Well, clearly that's not true, because it affected those young guys that were killed. The guy who did it is going to probably spend his whole life in prison. So it affects his family. It affects the families of everyone who lost someone. And so when I read those stories, I thought, they must not have God and Jesus in their lives at all. Because how could you take somebody's life that easy? And so part of this scripture is that love that God shows us creates an eternal life, because we're only on this earth so long. And we don't know how long that's going to be. We don't know if it's, you know, a few days from the time we're born, if it's 100 years. Benita's Aunt Jean lived to be 104. We do not have any idea how long that's going to be. But eternity is a lot longer than that. Much longer than that. And so with this life, with Jesus Christ, through God loving us, we have this chance for an eternal life. And so don't think of it in times of just after my life on this earth is over, but also what happens now. It provides us a peace that I don't think other people have, because they're afraid, because they don't know what's going to happen to them. I don't remember if I told you guys this before. My father didn't have any religious background. He had a stroke. When he had a stroke, he had a stroke after a stroke after a stroke. And the more strokes he had, the more fearful he got, because he didn't know what was going to happen to him. And so when we have the Lord with us, it provides us a peace to not be afraid. When the pandemic first started, that was all you heard. It was like, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. Well, why? There's nothing you can do about it. And if God's with you, you might get sick. People passed away and died. People have had things, but that doesn't mean you have to be afraid. I always wondered if I'd feel that way if I ever got the virus. And when I did, I was really sick, but I never was afraid, because I knew that God was with me. And so that peace of God helps us through those times that aren't the best of times. Because no matter who you are, it's not going to be the best of times. Sawyer never realized that a grandfather could die until this week, my 5-year-old grandson. Because when his best friend across the street's grandfather died, Benita was there that day, and he said, I don't understand. She said her grandpa died. And she went, yeah, that happens. And it was like he never thought of either of his grandpas dying. And he's only 5, and that's okay. But I'm guessing that he looks at I'm Papaw and Pawpaw. I'm sure that when we were both there yesterday, that our hugs were a little different, because he understands that we may not be there all the time. I think he understands, he may or may not. But that peace that can be with us can lead us through all those dark times. And we're going to have things in our life that distress us. Loss of loved ones, injuries and illness. But know that God is always with you. God will forgive us sometimes when we probably shouldn't be forgiven for what we did, because we know how bad we are. But as we should forgive others around us, God will always forgive us. He gives us a peace in life, and more importantly, sometimes a peace for ourselves, because we've known the weaknesses that we have, the temptations that we struggle with, whatever those are, but yet we know through God we can have a peace that'll get us through all those things. And it's not only a peace in the time we're in now, but it's a peace that will last forever. So I talked a little bit about this before, this love of God in the New Testament versus Old Testament. I think it's different sometimes. we view the New Testament as a more loving time. And like I said before, I think maybe that's because from a Jewish point of view, which that's written, they thought they should always be punished. And I think we think more in terms of forgiveness. I hope that doesn't mean we do things we shouldn't do because we go, well, everything will be okay. God will forgive me. No matter what we do, it's not what this is supposed to be. But what God's really interested in is correcting us to be the way we're supposed to be, to be the best possible person that we can. However, he directs us, he guides us. And so the question is, are we open to do that? And so kind of the last part of what he talks about in this scripture is when he tries to bring people out of the darkness, are they willing to do that? Or did they become so used to being in a dark place, they want to stay there? Because we like what we know, even if it's bad. We like what we know, even if it's bad. And so are we willing to come out of this place? And so often when we feel we've been bad, so Sophia will tell you, she goes, I was bad. I did something or other. So what'd you do? Nothing. Well, you could have told your mom you're sorry. Nah. Nah. We kind of do the same thing sometimes. We know what we've done is wrong, so we acknowledge it's wrong, but we don't try to fix it. It's just like, you know, well, that's the way I am, or that's the way she is, or that's the way Sophia is, or we kind of make a reason for why it's okay to be the way we are, even though we should change. And so when we feel that God's condemning us, I think it's really more that we're condemning ourselves because we're not willing to step forward and make a change. I mean, this whole idea of Lent is about making long-term changes to bring us closer to the Lord. And so, first part is you have to recognize what the issue is, and then you have to be willing to change it. I was reading a book or watching a movie or something, and this guy was saying, oh, this person's been a jerk to me, and this person's been a jerk, and this person was a jerk, and this person was mean to me, and everybody around him was mean. And the guy, whoever it was in the book or story or movie, said, have you ever thought that maybe you're the problem? Because if everybody around you is mean to you, it could be that you're the problem. And in that case, the person didn't recognize what the issue was. The issue was them. They thought the issue was everybody else. We have to be able to move out of those dark places. We have to be able to make changes, meaningful changes, in our lives so that God can direct us the way we're supposed to be directed. To become the people, well, we'll start individually, to become the person that he wants us to be, to become the people and the community, and then the world. And I worry so much about the violence that we see all the time. How people don't have any love in their hearts where they can just take a life and never even give it a thought. I just don't know how you do that. There's no thought. How can you be in that dark a place? And so for us, we're supposed to make sure we're not in that dark a place. But if we find somebody, we're supposed to help them get out of that dark place, to guide them to a better place. Because we all have the ability to change the world. We may not be able to change it today, but if we change one life, it changes the whole world. So there was a group in Muncie that was called Teamwork for Quality Living, I think. And when I worked at the bank, the 100 Men Who Cook, if you guys never had a chance to go, it was really just a fundraiser, and we changed sponsors who we gave the money to every year. And one year, it was Teamwork for Quality Living. Now, Teamwork for Quality Living was probably the hardest agency that we ever gave money to. So here's what they did. They tried to find kids that were late elementary, middle school age, whose family history was that no one ever graduated from high school. And the problem in Muncie was there were a lot of kids like that. They didn't have anyone in their life that really could be used as a mentor. And they almost all had a history of being on government welfare programs because no one ever did anything with their lives except quit school and then did whatever they did. So the idea for Teamwork for Quality Living was they would get 15 or 20 mentors to work with this group of students they found and try to make them finish school and at least think about going on to something past high school. And I was talking to somebody about coming to the dinner and supporting it, and they said, you know what, I have a really hard time doing that in this group. And I said, why? And they said, because you can't show me that they make a difference. And I said, you know what, you're right. I said, but they only have to change one life. Because if you change one life, which means then their families, when they grow up, aren't going to be trying to do the same thing because that's all they've ever seen in their whole entire life. I said, it's amazing what a change you can make. You don't have to change all, if they had 15 kids that year, you don't have to change all 15. If you just change one, think, if you just want to think of them in terms of dollars and cents, how much difference they made in somebody's life. We have that goal, responsibility to try to change people's life to bring them to the Lord. And so this last thing, I'm pretty sure it's the last thing I have up here, it's about this love versus judgment. From a Jewish point of view, they were always being judged. They did not see the love that God gives us each and every day. That's really important for us. We are not going to be perfect. We cannot beat ourselves up. If we're really willing to make a change and become a different person, God's love will get us through that. We don't have this judgment that we have to work through. Jesus loves us, and as long as Jesus loves us, there is hope for all of us, no matter where we're at in our lives. Whether you become the worst person in the whole entire world doesn't mean that you can't be changed. So, a little political announcement. If you've ever wondered why the United Methodist Church doesn't believe in the death penalty, that's it. If someone's done something so horrible that the government thinks they should be killed, what they're really saying is they can never be restored. That God cannot work in their lives to change them. And that's why the church is opposed to death penalty. Because it means you gave up on them. God never gives up on us. He loves us. Just like Raquel said, no matter how bad we are, He loves us. And we have that chance to change. Lent is a time for all of us to reflect on that. What changes do we need to make to become closer to God, to become the person that God wants us to be each and every day? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful again that we can come together to worship and to praise you. Let us be guided and directed in all things we do as we go out into your world. Let us be open to the prospect of bringing someone that doesn't know your love and grace back to the fold as you have searched us out. It is our responsibility to reach out to those who do not love you, that don't know your grace that you give us. Let us be open to that call, no matter where we're at, no matter what's going on in our own lives. Amen.